Thank you. Rock on, girl. You're awesome. So Jeff was our speaker last week. Did a great job, brother, by the way. You know, they're just going to keep asking you to come back. You're a little bit shorter than I am, so I think you're their favorite now. That's what happens. Last week I spent a couple days up in Lake Swan Camp. In case you haven't heard the rumors, the men's retreat or the men's training camp has been postponed. So they just postponed it. They're kicking the can down the road, maybe sometime in, I don't know, it was in November, and they switched it to October, and then they postponed it to maybe in the new year. Who knows when they'll do that. Also, the district conference that was in September has also been postponed, probably into the new year. We may forego it altogether. Who knows how that's going to work out. There's no in-person meeting, and that's really because of heightened COVID encounters within the Christian Missionary Alliance. We've seen a lot of our church pastors that have encountered a lot of COVID within their congregations. So some of what we're trying to do is just safety first. So use good protocols. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer. Don't touch your face. And by all means, trust in the name of the Lord. Amen? So some of the good news coming out of Lake Swan, there's been over 260 proclamations of faith or rededications just through this past summer. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. That's a good year in a pandemic year. Several baptisms. Now the church, they do better than a lot of churches, and so that camp is trying to acquire 7 acres in New Life Acres, which is right next to it, adjoined to the camp. So that property was it's been a nonprofit organization for a while. Then it was like a let's say convalescent home or rehabilitation for a little bit. So it's come up for sale. It's in very dilapidated position. Condition rundown. So they're trying to raise some money so that they can acquire the property. 7 acres. So it's a good time. They've raised up enough funds to match some funds. So if you ever consider giving to Lake Swan Camp, now's a good time to do that. You give a dollar, it'll be matched, and you'll get a dollar. So they're going to try to raise up enough money over the course of the next few months to make an offer. Anybody with me on that? They're going to try to raise up enough money so that they can get an offering. So every dollar that you donate is being matched. And so that we can make an offer. So if you ever consider that, just a good plug for them, double up your donations. I know this for certain. Throughout the pandemic time, the God-honoring and the God-focused ministries find themselves as busy as ever. Nothing ever really slowed down for ministry and those that were honoring God. I saw a lot of ministers that pushed the panic button or they pushed the stop button and they just kind of rested, and God didn't rest. I can promise you God didn't rest. God did amazing things and continues to do amazing things in much more creative ways, but still God is at work. Those ministry found themselves very, very busy. They adapted, they adjusted, and they kept on keeping on, much like New Life Alliance Church. This church has kept on keeping on. Right now we're in the midst of even establishing a child care facility. If you don't know, then our special education organization, Rock Point Academy, and Blossoming Minds, developmental intervention specialists, they left. And so after 9 years of being here, they didn't come out of the pandemic very well. Enrollment was down. And so we had to rally as kind of as church leadership saying, okay, well, what's the direction? How are we going to head? We're open to whatever the Lord might do. And before they were even really out, it was their last week, a phone call came just from a daycare down the road that just said, we know you have a school there, and we're just wondering if maybe you had some space. And I said, well, we don't have a school here anymore, and we have some space. But you need to come and look. And I don't know much about child care and all the aspects that are involved, particularly with fire safety, health code safety, right, all that health department stuff. I don't know what's going on. But they do. And so they've been working a little bit in our education building for the last month, trying to maneuver fire safety and health department safety and zoning and regulations and all the things that need to be done with the town and all that kind of stuff. And so they've been doing all that. And we've been trying to do our part as well in the education building, trying to sweep up, clean up, fixing things, inspecting all that kind of stuff as well. So just thank you for everybody that's kind of rallied around and helped out and participated, whether that's changing a light bulb or mopping a floor or throwing something out of the trash. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See, in the midst of a cancel culture, God keeps moving. In the midst of cease and desist, rest and stop and relax, God keeps moving. In the midst of all the fear-mongering, God keeps moving. In the midst of confusion, political unrest, God keeps moving. And we kept moving as New Life Alliance Church. Just so grateful that the Holy Spirit of God continues to move in each and every one of us. We didn't really slow down. We saw births, we saw deaths, we saw life continuing to go on. And so New Life Alliance continues to honor, trust, proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. And we're going to continue to gather, we're going to continue to praise, we're going to continue to worship, we're going to continue to Zoom prayer, we're going to continue Bible studies, we're going to continue to study His words. We shall, by all means necessary and available to us, encourage, support, and be a fellowship of believers, advancing the name of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Are you with me? Give me a yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And all the way.
Yes, sir.
See, we've been given pretty good opportunity, I think. Just that it was seamless in its transition from moving out of special needs education into daycare. While it looks a little bit different, there's a lot of similarities, but while it looks a little bit different, we're going to be ready. Particularly as people go back to work, if they ever go back to work. That back to work, that's kind of a, never thought I'd hear those kind of phrases come out of my, people that actually won't work. It's usually I can't find a job. Now it's, we can't find workers to fill the jobs. So, the scriptures today in Hebrews 7 is talking about a job, the job of the priests. Priesthood, particularly the high priest, how they became one. And still maintaining the theme that we've been following through, that Jesus is greater, greater than the angels, greater than the high priests, greater than Moses, right? So we're fun. Jesus is greater. This kind of serves as a warning to those believers that he's writing to, as well as to us, not to be looking at other people, not to be looking at other things, and worshiping them, nor exalting them. In particular, what was happening with these group of believers is there was a time of great struggle and great persecution and great discouragement. Often people might even say that's happening to them right now. They feel persecuted, they feel oppressed, they feel discouraged, they feel as if the world is going to hell in a handbasket. They don't understand the wars and the problems and the trials and the tribulation. And then what ends up happening is people begin to move into other alternatives, or they move away from Jesus. It becomes this loss of hope. But this mention of a high priest, it would have been very interesting to those believers. Jewish Christians, they would have had serious questions about the idea that the author is presenting. High priest, Jesus as high priest. Lots of people have lots of questions about God. And oftentimes, if they can't resolve the questions, then they move away from God. As opposed to living in the mystery, living in the miracle, walking by faith, they choose, if they can't solve it and it's unresolved to them, they don't believe. Find that a lot. Find that a lot. Basically, their questions would have been about this high priest, because Jesus did not come from the priestly family of Levi or from the priestly family of Aaron, who would be the high priests. See, this presents an intellectual question to them. How is this even possible? See, it challenges their way of thinking. The whole sect of Jewish believers have been thinking and walking and talking and living this way for centuries. And many of you have been living and walking and talking and living a certain way for many, 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 many years. Has God ever challenged the way in which you think? Has God ever challenged the way in which you think about Him? Well, get ready. He's about to challenge you again. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. High priest. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, then also king of Salem, which means king of peace. Without father, mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Talking about Melchizedek. Rituals, there's your first one. Rituals. See, right out of the gate, there's already an intellectual challenge. There's an intellectual challenge. And it breaks all the rituals of their understanding. We should already be in a place of going, well, this isn't quite right. This isn't doesn't understand. See, what is not right is that there is a priest and king. Priest and king Melchizedek. This is way outside the realms of ritual appointment for kings. This is way outside the Mosaic law. This is way outside of anything a Hebrew or a Jew would understand to be accurate in the way in which they have done things in their ritualistic believing for years and years and years and years. Now, most people have rituals that they follow. They have ritualistic beliefs that they will attain to or that they will follow. Certain things that they do just because that's the way they do it, that's the way they've always done it. Do you have a favorite chair? Do you have a favorite chair? You're pretty much ritualistic. Most people will follow the same ritual. It's Sunday afternoon, it's time for NASCAR or NFL, or right? It's Monday night wrestling time. Whatever the people follow rituals, right? All the time they follow the same things, do the same thing. This is how I pray. I pray up and down, right? The rows. Why? Because people sit pretty much in the same place because you follow a certain pattern in your life. You're comfortable with it. You understand it. There's no surprises. God's not going to really challenge you in a different way or make you feel uncomfortable. We do that going to work. We wake up. We do the same ritual. Make sure we're out on time. Same thing coming to church, sitting in the same place. Melinda got rituals when it comes to sleeping. Anybody got sleeping rituals? Right? Sleeping rituals. So Melinda, it takes Melinda a few minutes to go to bed. She's got to remove the pillows. She's got to fluff the pillows. She's got to put the pillows in the right place. One's at the foot, one's at the arm, right? So there's this ritual that needs to take place because she wants to rest and sleep comfortably. What happens when all that comfort is disrupted? It's challenging. You have to think a little bit differently, or you're going to have to rest in it a little bit differently. Some rituals can be really fun. Watching NFL, watching NASCAR, game night, movie night. Some rituals can be really fun. Others, not so much. Time to pay the light bill. That pretty much comes like a ritual every month, right? Some rituals can be fun. Some, not so much. All things are mostly ritual and routine. Certain things done on a regular basis. High priests and kings were appointed by routine. They were appointed by rituals. So, listen, in my financial planning days, I just remembered this story. I was sitting at a kitchen table. My financial planning day, so I'm sitting at a kitchen table, and he's a physician. So I said, oh, what kind of physician are you? So, well, I'm a brain surgeon. He's like, brain surgeon? So that's impressive. All right, so what's your objective? Why am I even here in the presence of a brain surgeon? Well, I'm interested in some of my charitable giving and some of the tax ramifications and how I might give money to my kids and the inheritance and things. So I'm like, absolutely. So I start talking about donor advised funds and charitable gift annuities and charitable remainder trusts and estate planning and taxation. And here's, you know what he says to me? Are you ready? This is what he says to me. He's looking me dead in the eye. Sounds complicated. Is it complicated? You're a brain surgeon. You remove people's skulls, right? And take a scalpel to their cerebellum. It's complicated. This should be simple for you. I realized, really, by routine and repetition, he was very intelligent about brain surgery. He was very ignorant about finances. By ritual and repetition and education, I was very intelligent about finances. I was very ignorant about brain surgery. See where rituals and routines, they have a way of playing a benefit, paying even a benefit into your life. There's a realm of reality. There's your next one. This scripture, this salvation, this Jesus should not be complicated. Should be relatively simple. But you're going to have to put some routine into it. You're going to have to put some ritual into your understanding, studying God's word. You're going to have to be in this spiritual realm if you want to experience the spiritual reality, practicing daily presence, praying without ceasing, giving thanks continuously in all circumstances. And it might be a really good ritual for you to study God's word just with soap. It's not complicated. It's pretty simple. Next Sunday, I'm preaching on Hebrews 8. It might be really good for you. Maybe it's a challenge. You might read Hebrews 8 this week. Just to have a preparation for next week. And maybe you might want to read it and see how does this apply to me. And maybe you might even want to say a little prayer about, Lord, I pray that the pastor's message meets me and teaches me something. That's what we ask you to do as a body of believers that come together. And you could do that at home. You could do that in a Bible study group. I'll do it several times throughout the week, just in preparation. And I would like you to join me in that. Can you do that with me? It's not complicated. Like these Jewish believers, they had ritual. They had ritual of understanding. They had religion. They had Old Testament. This is what, it's like Old Testament's coming to life here. And you really need to have an understanding of the Old Testament, or a lot of the stuff just goes right by you. You just kind of read it, and you go, okay, yeah, Melchizedek, okay, whatever. And you don't quite grab hold of it. And there's so much going on here. It's so rich in history, so rich in what the believers, and so rich in what he's trying to teach and what he's trying to say. There's a lot of Old Testament rituals that have a lot of misunderstanding when it comes into the New Testament. And we need to resolve some of those so that we have a better understanding of the New Testament, the New Covenant, so that we might become more mature and gain in our understanding so that we might be more intelligent in practicing our faith, that we would become more effective in our faith. This passage is drastically important because it illustrates how we are to now think of Old Testament institutions. Like the priesthood. Jesus is greater in the order of Melchizedek. What does that even mean? Jesus is greater than the law. Jesus is greater than the high priest. Jesus is greater than Moses and the angels. And this is what he's trying to express. Melchizedek in relation to the old priesthood, that's way outside the law. It's way outside the routine. It's way outside the rituals that they've known. It's challenging their thinking. Melchizedek was long before the law of priesthood. Long before the laws of priesthood. After Abram had defeated the kings that took his nephew Lot, he met with this mysterious priest who was also a king. What? They haven't known that. They've never known that. But here's this priest and king that the father of nations, whom they honor, Abraham, honors this priest, this king. Do you know the story? Do you know the story? His nephew Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah area. All the kings and territorial generals that lived around the area, they took over that territory. They took all the livestock and the family, and they kidnapped Lot, and they all took off. And so Abram hears about this. They've kidnapped my nephew Lot. And so he gathers up a few hundred men, and he goes after him. And when he goes after him, he kills the kings and saves his nephew Lot and takes all the plunder, starts to head back home. And on his way home, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine to this man. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hands." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. See, God didn't allow priests to be kings. He didn't allow kings to be priests. He separated them by tribe. Separated them by tribe. Kings came from the line of Judah. Priests came from the tribe and the line of Levi. You will not be. You will be one or the other. You will not. And so here's this great king and priest who Abram thinks so highly of. He honors him with a tenth of everything. God knew a long time ago that it was dangerous to combine religious laws and civil law. Long time ago. Do you think it's dangerous to combine religious law and civil law? Think it's dangerous to do that? I don't know. Ask the Taliban. That's why you don't want Taliban, because it's a religious law. Oversee, you don't want that, do you? I don't know. Can you legislate morality? There's a challenge. God saw the dangers in all of that long ago. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render under God what is God's. Melchizedek was a unique exception to the Mosaic law, the law that had not even been written yet. Think about that particular encounter. The law had not even been written yet. Much like Jesus is a very unique exception in the order of the priesthood and the kingship, without father or mother, without beginning of days or end, resembling the Son of God, this Melchizedek, he remains a priest for anything, forever. Is there anything significant about Melchizedek bringing out bread and wine? He brings out bread and wine to the father of all nations, to the father of Muslims, to the fathers of Taliban, to the fathers of Ishmael. He brings to all nations, to all people, he brings out bread and wine. Maybe you can add some significance there in your own thought process. But that's, again, only if you kind of understand a little bit about Scripture. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, why was there still a need for another priest to come in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, the law must also be changed. So there's results. There's your next one. What are the results? What is happening is that the Old Testament ways and laws are actually being turned around. They're actually being turned around. And so he's reciting something that's before the law. He's reciting something before all of that. He's referring to something pre-law. Turning into something new. But watch. Turning into something new. That's what we call the New Testament. But watch. Turning it into something new that resembles something very, very old. Something very, very original. Not only is Melchizedek greater than Abram, Melchizedek is greater than the priesthood. He was before the priesthood. He was before law. One might even say that Levi, the tribe of Levi, who collects the tenth from their people, actually paid the tenth to Abraham. Because Melchizedek met Abram, and Levi, the whole tribe of Levi, hadn't even been born yet, actually was still within Abraham, honored Melchizedek. Do you understand? The priesthood that had yet to even come into existence, the author is saying, could have been used in such a way and said in such a way as that priesthood paid honor to till Melchizedek. Melchizedek the high priest offers blessings to Abram. Abram, the father of all nations. Abram was to not yet, had not even born children yet to the tribes of the priesthood. And Abraham offers his tithe. Isn't that amazing? Long before the law of the tithe is ever even given. You think that tithing is about the law? How many times have people had arguments with me about tithing and that they're not about the law? The law had been done away with. And I go, exactly, because it goes way back to the very beginning, before there was a law. And Abram, the father of all nations, the father of all peoples, honored and gave a tenth. It's not about the law. It was never about the law. But if you make it about the law, then you must be very ritualistic. And you're trying to be beyond that. Exactly. Which is where Christ wants you to be. Because it's going to show your faith. See, it's pre-law. It's pre-law. It's voluntary. Absolutely. So the new way to Christ ushers in the order of Melchizedek. See, it's older than the law. It's more perfect than the law. It's grander than the law. It's an expression of your faith. It's more majestic than religion. It's more honoring than ceremony. It's more loving than the ritualistic obedience. The new way is going back to the original way. The new way is a stronger demonstration of your faith. What kind of faith do you have? It's restore and reconcile. There's your next one. See, doesn't that sound like a reboot? Restore, reconcile, right? That's all, you know, redemption. It's all going back. It's all pointing back to the relationship with God. This Jesus high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Before there was ever law, before there was ever ritualistic obedience, it's pointing you back to a place of faith and love and honor. Is that what you want to debate? Your faith, your love, your honor? Are you trying to cheat God somehow because you don't want to observe the law? It's not about the law. It's about your heart. It's always been about your heart. Where's your heart? Where's your faith? Where's your walk with Christ? Abram honoring, loving, serving, giving. Just think how great this Melchizedek was. Even the patriarch Abram gave him a tenth of all the splendor. There's no law. What do you give because you want to? Who do you honor with your blessings and your first fruits? Do you act out of love and cheerfulness and conviction of your faith? Do you walk in moments of maturity, a state of conviction and faithfulness? Not because you're dictated to, not because you're obligated to, not because it's what you have to do to earn God's grace. Stop. You're way out of line. Because it's a relationship that you have with God. Because it's a relationship that you have with this great and mighty God. Restore the relationship with God. Reconcile the relationship with God. All this has a way of turning back to God. Establish your faith. He's worthy of your honor. He's worthy of your faith. He's worthy of your gifts. He's worthy of your trust. Melchizedek is a foreshadow of Jesus as king and priest. Many believe this to be a Christophany. Meaning, is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Melchizedek. Foreshadow of Jesus, at the very least, we can agree there, way outside the ritualistic order of things and the way we've done things by Mosaic law for centuries and centuries. And yes, exactly. Jesus brought about a change to the priesthood. He brought about a change to the kingship of Israel. Jesus brought us back to a place of faithfulness expressed by your love, by your honor, and by your respect. Jesus in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of obligatory ritual and law, but by your love, your faith. I know we call it the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it's really just a testament. It's just a testament of God's plan at work among his creation. And he always has been at work. He always been at work. Do you believe you're living in biblical times? Do you believe you're living in biblical times? See, I think a lot of people have come to this realization, oh, it's biblical times, because we hear wars and rumors of wars and much pestilence and America's divided and just, we hear all that. It's always been biblical times, period. It's always been biblical times. Now you're just seeing things and more people are coming into the, oh, the end is near. The end has always been near. Jesus crushes the Old Testament laws by being before the law. Is the Word, was the Word, always was the Word, right? Before he even became flesh and walked among us, he was. Jesus crushes the Old Testament laws because he was pre-law, he was before the law. He crushes the Old Testament kingship before there were ever kings. See, it's kind of so mind-boggling and yet so simple. Sounds complicated. No, it's really kind of simple. We should be raising a hallelujah that God is bringing us back to something very simplistic. It's about your faith. It's about your love. It's about your relationship. It's about your honor. It's about your trust. And it becomes very, very personal. Not like the priesthood that was established. He's the one who was and is. He's the one who's always been watching over us. He's the one who raises us from the dead. He's the creator of all things. He is the sovereign king. He holds the keys to Hades. He's the one who redeems us out of hell. He's the one that separates the sheep and the goats, not you. He is great and mighty over Israel, over all things, over all ways. He rules, he reigns, and he rises above all others. Jesus, greater than. He is in the order of Melchizedek, without beginning, without end, indescribable, immeasurable, beyond time. This great God from the very beginning knew what he was doing. Do you believe that? That he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing when he introduced Abram to Melchizedek. He knew what he was doing when Jesus went to the cross. The day Jesus died, the veil was torn. Does that even mean anything? What does that even mean? The curtain was ripped down. What does that even mean? A new order was established that resembled the oldest priesthood and kingship ever. Back to the order of Melchizedek. The Old Testament Levitical priesthood shattered into dust. A new thing resembling the old thing has come to pass. There was a new high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is now a sovereign priest, a stable priest, a superior priest. For it is declared you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope was introduced, one by which we can draw near to God. The Mosaic law wore out. It was never meant to be permanent. It could not be permanent. It was lacking. It was lacking anything eternal. It brought only the reminder that we needed to be cleansed and re-cleansed and restored and redeemed and reconciled. The law was tiring and exhaustive and repetitive, year after year, over and over. A better hope was introduced, one for us, resembling the original, resembling a relationship of faith, of honor, respect. The priesthood, as it was, could never allow just anyone to enter in the presence of God. Just think about that for a second. The rituals that you understand and have understood for so long means that you cannot experience the presence of God. The presence of God is in there in the Holy of Holies behind this big old veil. And maybe once a year, if we're lucky, we can send in the high priest who will ask for forgiveness for his own sins and for the sins of the nation. And we pray and we hope that God honors that. Oh, let's do it again. Did the priest even come out? I don't know. He's been in there for months. Let's send in another one. Right? You hear the rumors and the stories. They would tie a rope to the ankle of the priest that would put bells on him so that he'd go in and they'd want to keep hearing him. And if he stopped moving, they'd pull him out. Well, who's high priest now? Anybody want to volunteer to go into the presence of God there? What happened when the curtain was torn, ripped down? What is the significance thereof? See, was it torn down so that God could get out? Or was it opened up so you could go in? Come. Welcome into the presence of God. His presence is here. Now. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. He is not absent from you. He is not away from you. He is not far from you. He is not hidden from you. His presence is here. Now. We approach boldly with confidence in the presence of the Most High God, Jew and Gentile alike. The curtain is gone. The veil is torn. Run to him. Open your heart to him. He will take all your shame and give you peace. He'll take all your guilt and he'll give you comfort. He will take all your pain and bring you relief. He'll take all your sins and offer you forgiveness that you might experience the presence of a holy and righteous God. You might, not reserved for some high priest over there, that you might come into his presence. The Lord, give and take away. He gives and takes away. Such a high priest truly meets our needs. One who is holy and blameless and pure and set aside for sinners, exalted above the heavens, unlike any other high priest. He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of his people. He sacrificed for your sins once for all when he offered himself. He did that for you. He did that for you. Here's your last one. Rest. This is the place where you're supposed to rest. I rest in the presence of my God. I rest in the presence of my God. It's a place of safety, a place of assurance. It's a spiritual rest. And it might be time that you get right with God, that you might experience the spiritual safety, the spiritual rest. I know the physical world seems a little bit chaos and a little bit confused. That's the world. Death, divorce, illness, disease, fear, war. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. But your spiritual walk should not resemble that of the world. It should be one of peace and tranquility in the midst of all the chaos. Rest in the assurance of who he is and what he has done. Rest in the presence of the Most High God. Priest and King has done great work for you that you might know this great God. Once you come to a place of better understanding, you'll not walk by sight, but you'll walk by faith. And see things as they really are. You'll see things as they really are, even the chaos as it really is. And what is it? God unfolding his plan. He's always been unfolding his plan. You are part of that plan. God is unfolding his plan. You are part of that plan. And there's recognition and reverence, and that's where we end. And the recognition and the reverence of who he is. Not how great you are, how great he is. Imagine how great he is, that you would honor him, that you would love him, that you would have trust and faith in him, not because you're obligated, not because the law dictates it to you. Way before any of that, because you had faith. Because you had faith. Let me pray with you. Father, in this place, in these moments, I pray you stir up our own faith. Father, that we would walk more maturely, stronger in knowing who you are. And Father, as you enlighten us, as you empower us, might we see you at work in us and around us. Help us overcome our fears, the things that we see, that we might walk by faith. Help us to increase our trust when we don't understand everything. May we not run away, but may we have deeper convictions of trust. Work within us. I enjoy being in your presence. Thank you for the healing that you have brought to me in my physical body. Thank you for the ways in which you've straightened out and challenged my thinking about who you are. I pray, Father, you bind us all together as a fellowship of believers that have a deeper conviction and understanding of who you are. And that we would be the light into a chaotic and dark world. Go before us in the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Please. Brothers and sisters, do not lose heart. Though outwardly it seems like we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For, way the scriptures describe it, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Go serve your God. God bless you.